We've been talking about the inner man and outer man, and we're really taking a microscope and zooming in on scriptures and meanings of words to learn about what transpired in our salvation. What transpired in our salvation is an absolute miracle. I feel the modern church has kind of skipped over all this, and someone might ask, well, why are you being so detailed? Why are you focusing on these little things, these little words? Well, it's really not necessary for salvation for you to know who you are or to know how salvation works. It's not necessary, but I think it's important. The scripture tells us to grow in knowledge. Every father takes his son out and teaches him how to change the oil and how an engine works, and you pass that knowledge to the next generation so they don't have to learn the hard way. You can learn wisdom without having to learn it on your own the hard way. Some of these things that you learn from teaching, it takes 20, 30 years of study before we can articulate it. And well, you don't need to go through 20, 30 years of study and prayer. You can gain from what the Lord showed me if I can prove to you that is truth in Scripture, and to save yourself some time. We're going to talk about in the inner man today, the word of the new nature. One meaning of the word new nature is seed. And so sometimes when you see the word seed in Scripture, it's referring to the new nature that you received. And if you recall to the past lessons, you'll learn that the new nature is in your inner man, and it's the smallest part, but the most powerful part. It is the generator of righteousness in you. It's what makes you righteous. The new nature is just the nature, but it's an important nature. And the word seed is used, and I believe it helps paint the picture of how we got into, why we need to get saved, how we got into the problem as a human race, and why it's so important someone gets born again. Many people just believe when I get born again, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm always a sinner, and I'm always repenting, and hopefully I'll get to heaven. But when you understand the seed of Christ in you, you begin to have confidence that even in your struggles, in your imperfections, you're still born again. You're still from Christ. You're just overcoming the outward man. So we're going to go from Genesis all the way through the Bible today, and I want you to take notes and learn with me, okay? And we're going to focus on the word seed. And what I'm trying to prove to you today, that the seed is a definition for, in many cases in Scripture, the word seed is a definition defining your new nature. Now, a seed is just an amazing little piece of design by God. And if you take a seed and plant it in the ground, it will grow exactly what it came from. It will develop what's in it. It won't develop something else. It'll only develop what's in it, where it came from. And so the seed of mankind, Adam was the seed of mankind planted in the garden. Let's start in Genesis 1. And this is going to be a great sermon. I'm starting in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself is in itself on the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed, according to its kind, that the tree that yields fruit, whose tree is in itself, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So it's really interesting how the Garden of Eden, God created and planted a seed of all the grass and the trees of the earth. And from that seed, it grew into the tree or the herb and produced its own seed. Everything alive has seed to reproduce. Otherwise, it would die off in that generation. And so everything God designed was to procreate, to develop, go around the whole earth and multiply after its own kind. But it can only develop what was in the seed. So when you take a fruit tree, in every fruit there is a seed. In fact, they say that's probably the reason for the fruit. So you'll want to eat it. An animal will eat the delicious fruit and carry the seed and then plant the seed later on that day. And every herb, every tree, every grass, everything in the earth, every animal is like a seed that can reproduce after its own kind. That's why when a dog gives a litter of puppies, you're not surprised by a little kitten in the middle of it, because it only can produce after its kind. That's the basic biology of seeds. Okay, seeds produce after its own kind, but also in the power of the seed. Every seed has a power to build itself and then to produce more seeds after itself that will be just like itself. Gary Carpenter talked about his dad having some grape, an orchard, and he said, you can go down to the very last grape on the far end of the vine, and it will be just like the first grape, that it's the same quality. A seed produces after its kind. Well, that's the same for the human race. The human race, God planted one seed in the earth called Adam for all humans to come from that seed of Adam. And Adam had the ability to only create after his image. And so even Eve came from the seed Adam. And then between Adam and Eve, they had the power to create new creatures that God did not create. God does not create people. He only created one seed of the human race, and that was Adam. And gave in the seed Adam the ability to reproduce more after his kind. It was really a genius plan of God, because that meant that he could come down to earth and fellowship with billions of people that he did not create and say, I'm here to fellowship with you, and you and I get to know each other. I am the creator, I am the father, but I'm not your father. Adam is your father. But Adam was created after the image of God. Adam was perfect. He was as righteous as God was righteous, as perfect as God was perfect, as holy as God was holy. Adam was perfect. He wasn't divine, but he was a perfect image of God in every way. Then we know what happened. The seed, Adam, and his wife sinned. And then they turned from righteousness to darkness, to sin, from light to darkness. In an instant, they went from a creature of perfect righteousness and holiness to a opposite, opposing creature of darkness and sin. Now the seed for the human race could only reproduce after its kind. That means that the image of God, the beauty of God, the righteousness of God stopped in the human race at Adam and Eve. It did not continue. We are not created today in the image of God. We are born today in the image of Adam. And we also carry the seed, the nature of Adam, which was now sin and darkness. Someone said, well, why does God send people to hell? Well, God technically doesn't send people to hell. Adam sent the whole human race on a road to hell because he now birthed us in that nature of sin. God's been trying to rescue us from hell ever since. He's not the one who sends us. He is a judge. He'll tell you where you're going and why you're going there and why you don't qualify for heaven. If you're not born again, you need to get born again so you can get the seed of Adam out of you and get the seed of Christ in you. That's the new nature. Let's continue. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 3. We'll start in verse 14. Genesis 3, verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman. So now we know there is a enmity, a fight between Satan and the woman. And between your seed and her seed. That's very important to understand that women don't have seed. So this is a prophecy of Jesus where he was born in Eve. The righteousness of God, the righteousness, the light of Jesus did not come from Eve or the human race. It came from God imparting that light into Eve. But she was the carrier of that seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel, talking about Jesus. Now let's keep going. Let's go all the way over to John chapter 8. And I'm trying to teach this in a studious way so you can see the picture of why it's so important to be born again, but also once you're born again, how do I get the image of the seed to come forth in my life? If I take a seed, say an apple seed, and I tell you I have the best apples, this came from the best tasting apple I've ever tasted, and I show it to you, I put it in a glass, and I brag about the potential of the seed, and I talk about how I'm going to make apple pie, apple cobbler, apple juice, applesauce, and I'm going to be the supplier of apples to my friends. And you come by every year and I hold that seed in the glass and talk to you about the potential of that seed. You're going to start telling me, hey, Alan, I'm your friend. And you got to know, in agriculture, you've got to plant the seed in the ground. And that seed has to grow and develop. The seed actually takes in the nutrients of the ground and forms the image that's in the seed and builds it. It builds that tree and forms that tree until the tree becomes mature, and then it will produce the fruit of apples. And so every seed has inside of it an image of where it came from, an image of its origin. Okay, I can take that image of an apple today and eat it and trace it all the way back to one apple tree in the Garden of Eden. And so I can take you and trace your seed, your heritage, all the way back to one seed, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. So now the problem is that mankind in Adam, the future of mankind, was destined to be born with a nature of darkness instead of a nature of light, and a nature of sin instead of a nature of righteousness. And so when you are born in darkness and sin, you can't go to heaven. You cannot go to your heavenly Father because God's no longer your Father. God stopped being the Father to the human race the moment Adam sinned. It's very important you understand that. Let's go to John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 37. This was Jesus arguing with the Pharisees, as usual. Jesus says in verse 37, I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you've seen with your father. So Jesus is telling the Jewish leaders that they have different fathers. Well, they were like, hey, we're from Abraham. And he said, I know you're a descendant from Abraham, but your father is Satan. It's a powerful statement. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And this, of course, irritated them because they took a lot of pride that they were from God. They were descendants of God through Abraham. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So Jesus is making a distinction between being a descendant, a natural lineage, versus being a descendant of Abraham's faith to salvation. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father God." So they're claiming that their natural lineage through Abraham made God their father. And Jesus is correcting them. And he says to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." They weren't born again. "You are of your father," dun, 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 "the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth." So Satan was a murderer from the beginning of the human race. "And does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." So Adam made his seed sin. By sinning, he turned himself, the seed of mankind, from light to darkness, from righteousness to sin. Meaning that Satan became the father of the human race. No longer was God the father of the human race, because the nature of light that he gave to Adam, the seed, was now no longer like God. So God's fathering of the human race stopped at Adam's sin. And Satan's fathering of the human race started the moment Adam sinned. Satan became the father of the human race. When someone dies, they go to where their father is. They go to where their father belongs. So when an unborn Christian dies, and an unborn person dies and he's not a Christian, they travel to hell, because that's where Satan belongs. When a believer dies, they travel to their heavenly father in heaven, because that's the nature. They now have the seed of life in them. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 1. Told you going to be lots of Bible reading today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez begot Hezron. And Hezron begot Ram. Now don't worry, I'm not going to keep reading all the begots. But I want you to see how the seed, the natural seed, was passed down from generation to generation. Begot basically means birth, created, made. You could say Abraham made Isaac. Isaac made Jacob. And passed down the seed that was in him, the natural seed that was in him. That's why Jesus said, even though you can trace back your genealogy all the way to Abraham, in the natural, Abraham could only pass down a seed of Satan, a natural seed, nature of darkness. So you can see here that Abraham begot Isaac, Judah begot Perez, Hezekiah begot Manasseh. You could read all through this that the seed of man, the seed of Adam, was passed down from generation to generation. And that's where you come from. You and I come from that very seed that Adam became. And so we have to trade fathers to be born again. It's not trading lifestyles. It's not just about living differently and serving God. It's about trading lifestyles. And you're going to learn in this series how much more God has given you and the amazing potential you have as a child of God to grow and mature and to become like Jesus. Our goalposts have been so changed and our goal has been lowered so far that people just want to get to heaven. But there's a plan of God for you and for me to change this world, to shake this world the same way Jesus did, because we have been born of a new nature. So the seed went from Adam all the way down, and then one day in Bethlehem, there's a little baby born, and he was born with a different nature, the nature of light. He was born with the nature of righteousness, the same light and righteousness that Adam was created in. Jesus had in him a nature of righteousness. Let's look over in Galatians chapter 3. I'll start in verse 15. And this is talking about how Abraham's most important role was not in birthing the natural lineage of the Jewish people through him. That was important because that's where Jesus had to come from. But his most important role was to have the faith that God could bring back his son from death to life, and the actions to do that, the actions to create a son out of nothing, out of faith alone. And that was how the faith of Abraham called those things that were not as though they were, a savior. And God was able to skip over all those thousands of years and use Abraham's faith to birth Jesus, the new seed for a new family. God cannot fix the human race. There was no fixing it. That's why a good person could live holy, cry out to God, do good works, but until they humble themselves and get born again, they're still not qualified for heaven. So God, through Abraham's faith, created a new family, the seed for a new family through Jesus. A new seed, Adam, Jesus is called the final Adam. A new Adam was created through Abraham's faith, but God used his lineage to bring that Adam into the world. The genealogy was important, but not as important as the faith that Jesus could come from that seed. And that's what it talks about here in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 15, "Brother, I speak in the manner of man. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. But he does not say to seeds as in many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." So to your seed as a Christian, the seed you now are birthed of is Christ. And in that seed can come forth everything that it gave to Jesus. Everything that Jesus had was in the nature of Christ that he was born with, that nature of righteousness. Inside a seed, if I look at an apple seed and I slice it in half and have a special spiritual atomic microscope, I could see inside that seed an image of a fully grown, mature apple tree. That's inside that every seed of an apple. Now, if I plant that seed, it builds that image. That image is built. It's formed. It adds to it every day a little bit. It grows and develops from the image that's in the seed. If I do an orange seed, it will produce an orange tree. Gary said, a seed doesn't produce fruit. It produces a tree. And then a mature tree produces the fruit. You can't skip the tree to get to the fruit. A lot of Christians are trying to do that nowadays. They're looking at their seed and saying, I'm a child of God. And they're confessing and believing, that's who I am. I can do all things. I am love. But they're not developing and growing, letting that inner man grow. They're trying to believe that's who they are. And although in the seed, it is complete. That seed, you don't add to a seed. A seed doesn't get more of the image. It's already fully complete. Your new nature is that seed. It's fully complete. The picture of it is fully complete. And inside your seed, the seed of the nature of Jesus in you, if I could splice it open and look at that little seed, that new nature, that powerful new nature. The new nature doesn't grow. It doesn't get more righteous. It is already a generator of righteousness. And it's just a little tiny seed that God planted in you. He took the nature, the seed of Adam out and put the seed of Christ in you. And if I were to slice it open with my atomic microscope and zoom in there, I would see inside of that nature, inside of you right now, is a nature, a seed with an image of Jesus in all of his maturity, in all of his wisdom, all of his love, all of his holiness. That's in you right now. But it's just like a seed. We're wasting so much time in our Christian world talking about the seed, the nature. This is who I am. This is who God made me. But if we just talk about it, it doesn't grow. It remains like a seed on the glass in the table with the potential to grow and become. You have the potential. You and I, no matter what your past is, no matter what your intellect is, no matter what your emotion is, no matter what culture, country you come from, whether you're male or female, it does not affect the image of the seed in you. You and I have the potential to grow and form Jesus in us and to become like Jesus, walk in the love of Jesus, walk in the peace and joy, the power that Jesus walked in, the authority that Jesus walked in. Let's look over in Galatians while we're here. Chapter 4, verse 19, and forgive me as I just keep teaching this picture, but if you can get this picture in you, you'll begin to see why it's so important that I pray in the Holy Ghost, why it's so important that I begin to focus on developing that inner man. You already have the seed of Christ in you, but it's just a seed. You're like a newborn baby. You must develop, and that seed must develop and bring forth the image of the love of Jesus. Bring forth the image of Christ in you. Must come forward. And where does it come forward? In our inner man. Verse 19, Galatians chapter 4, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. See, you already have the seed, and now if you give that seed the nutrients that it desires, it will actually begin to take the image of Christ, of who he was in love, in peace, in joy, in holiness, and begin to build it, form it, develop it, bring it forth like the tree. It will begin to form in you. And as that tree develops and matures, the fruit of the love of God will come out of you. And the reason our inner man had to be quickened as well, our spiritual mind, our spiritual emotions, is because our outward man is of this earth. It can't handle the love of God. The love of God does not exist on this earth. It's not from this earth. You can't find it anywhere on this planet. It can only be developed inside of a believer who has that seed of Christ in them, but it must grow and be developed. And so Paul here in chapter 4:19 says, I'm praying again for you that until Christ is formed in you. So it's not automatic. The moment you're born again, your inner man is not automatically mature. And that's why I struggle with some of the identity preaching. Half of it is brilliant, that I identify with who I am in Christ. That's brilliant. That's necessary. But when you start taking it over to, I'm already complete in him, all I have to do is accept who I am, believe it, and then God will do it, that's causing more damage on the other end. You're telling believers you don't need to seek God. You don't need to give nutrients to the seed. Just be who you are. That's a selfish gospel. I'll just say that. It's a lazy gospel. It's a self-serving gospel is a better way to put it. The message of the seed says you have the potential to build a tree in you, that tree in your inner man of Christ himself, not him individually, but who Christ was, you can become. I'll give you another verse in Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. You got me preaching now. But the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to learn in one of the next sermons that the Spirit here is talking about the new nature. So you could say in this verse, a better way to say this verse, is the fruit of the seed of Christ in you. Fruit does not come from a seed. Fruit comes from a mature tree, from a seed. The seed has to first develop the tree, form the tree, until that tree is mature. Then the fruit will come automatically. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's really contradicting the path of obeying God and following God by the law and saying you have everything you need in that seed. And if you give that seed what it needs, the fruit of that seed, the fruit of the Spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit. That word Spirit is your new nature. The fruit of the new nature, or the fruit that will come forward, if you let that seed grow into a tree and form Christ in you, is love. Now, that's not me loving you, or you loving me, or you loving your neighbor. That love is only the love of God, the agape love of God, which originates from God, and He put the potential of His love in the seed. So the love of God in you is not come down from heaven. You can't claim it. You can't receive it by anointing. You can't receive it from laying on of hands. It must be grown in your inner man. That's why your inner man is so important, because it has the potential to hold the very love that Jesus walked in. That's agape love. That peace, the joy, the long-suffering, these are all heavenly emotions that aren't available from this earth. You can't learn it from your mama, your grandma. You have to develop it from the seed being formed. That tree of Christ is being formed in you. And when it matures and is developed, then you will find that you will be loving like Jesus loved. You'll have a peace in you that is not affected by circumstances. It's an amazing potential you have. I don't care what your past is. I don't care your mistakes, your problems, your failures. That's the outward man. You can deny it, resist it, and eventually mortify it. You don't need to redevelop your outward man. The outward man is of this earth. It doesn't have the ability to walk like Jesus, but in your inner man, you have the potential. If you'll only give the seed the nutrients that it needs, what are those nutrients? Well, if you ask me, the nutrients of praying in tongues, the nutrients of worshiping, private worship of God, the nutrients of meditating the Word of God are all the nutrients of that seed that will begin to grow in you. I can sit here and preach to you, you need to live like this, you need to love your neighbor, you need to do this, and you will become an actor. I act like Jesus. Or I can preach to you, spend time with God. Spend time praying the tongues, and inside your inner man, that seed will begin to grow, and it will come forward and produce, form, create the same characteristics that Christ had, and you'll begin to see the shallowness of sin, the shallowness of self-righteousness, the shallowness of self-serving, the shallowness of pursuing things, and you'll begin to live from that inner man instead from the outward man. I'm preaching good now. All right, one more scripture verse here. Over in 1 Peter. Here, Peter gives us two images to understand what happens when you're born again. The one is the seed, and the other is that we're like little babies. When we're born again, our inner man really does come into existence for the first time. You really are a new creature. You really are a brand new person the moment you're saved. But you're wearing the outward, the old man, the old person used to be. Now you must deal with the old man, the old person, and make it bow its knee to the new you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides together. So, this Word of God is talking about Jesus. this word of God, the seed is not the scripture. The seed is the nature that because of the scripture, because of the word of God, you have a right to receive and be born again. So what God had to do was he couldn't fix the human race. Adam's race was done. The moment he sinned, Adam turned his future family into Satan's family instead of God's family. So God had to create a new family, a whole new species that were like the first Adam before he sinned. And he had to insert a new seed into the human race, and he had to do it legally. So he was able to do it through Jesus. And now in Jesus was a nature that he lived his whole life and never sinned, died and was resurrected, and then he was able to give you that resurrected seed by you humbling yourself and receiving it. He gave you a new seed. He quickened. It means he instantly took that old nature of sin that you got from Adam and inserted or turned it into a nature of righteousness, a seed of Christ. So now, once you're born again, your seed is Jesus. That's why you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So your seed isn't the preacher that got you born again. It isn't your church that got you born again. It isn't your denominations that's been around for 100 years. No, you're a direct fruit of Jesus. You're in Jesus, not beside Jesus. You're seated in Christ Jesus. So you are a direct fruit of the seed Christ. That's why I cannot get someone born again. My children are not born again when they're born. They're born by the standard of Adam in the natural. My son and my daughter got born again fairly young. We didn't push it and try to get them born again when they were in diapers. We allowed them to discover, and I'm a preacher, so they hear preaching all the time. And they both got born again. Harrison, my son, who I birthed, is my natural son. But the day he got born again, I'm no longer his father, technically. I'm his brother, because both of us have the same father. Through Jesus, God is our father. We are now brothers together. Don't tell him that, because then he won't listen to me anymore. So you've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. So the picture goes on here in verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass, and grass withers away, and the flower falls away. Every man in their outward man is going to perish. Every inward man lives for eternity. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. That's a powerful verse, because that tells you the moment you're born again, you can start laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Why? Because you now have a nature that tells you that's not who you are anymore. But why do I want to be deceitful and a hypocrite and lie and cheat and speak evil? Because you're still wearing the outward body from Adam. But your inner man is born again. Your outward man does not have a nature. It's the natural soul that is the problem. You'll learn more as we keep in this series. But here's the second picture. Verse 2. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the picture is when you were born again, your inner man became like a newborn baby. It was born again from God. God created a whole new species called the children of God. And he placed it outside of the human race. And then through Jesus, Jesus invited us to be born out of our first family to change seeds. So then we're born of the seed of Christ instead of the seed of Adam. So if I took your natural DNA, and I can trace you all the way back to Adam. If I just took your natural DNA, I could trace you all the way back to Adam. But if I took your spiritual DNA, the inner man, the real you, I would only find one step, Jesus. Through Jesus, God is your Father. You are born again. You can lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy. The moment you're born again, you have the power and the right to deny the outward man. As a newborn baby, it says, desire the pure milk of the word. So your inner man's like a newborn baby. It has no knowledge. All the knowledge that was in it was rebooted from darkness to light. Now you have no knowledge in that spiritual mind of yours. But it has the capacity to have the same knowledge and truth that God has, because it came from God. Your inner man was born from God. Your potential is amazing, but you can't claim it and call it in. You have to grow it and develop it like a seed forms Christ in you when you pray in tongues. I believe this is a picture of praying in tongues as a newborn baby. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, nurse from God the nutrients to grow. When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit begins to deposit spiritual truths into your spiritual mind, because now your spiritual mind can understand it. Your natural mind is left unfruitful. He doesn't teach your outward man. Your outward man can never understand the things of God. Why? Because it's from a different species. It's from this earth. But your spiritual man is now able to grow and mature. That seed in you wants to develop and grow, and it can, if you'll just give it the nutrients it needs. It's good to do good works. It's good to go and share the gospel. We need to do all of those things, but don't neglect nurturing that new nature. The new nature doesn't grow. It doesn't develop. It has the mind is not in the new nature. It's just a nature, a glorified nature, but it's just a nature. The mind of the Spirit is in the inner man. And so when you add to it, you give it the nutrients, it develops and matures into your inner man. That inner man grows like a tree. Like a tree grows, Christ in you will begin to form. And then the fruit of love and joy and peace will all begin to come out of you, out of your inner man. And you'll see that, wow, this love from my inner man is a billion times stronger than the love from my outward man. This desire for holiness in my inner man is a gazillion times stronger than my fight for holiness in the outward man. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Worship God. Give that seed what it needs so it can grow and form Christ in you. God has great things for you. Appreciate you taking the time with me. I love you, and I'll see you again soon. God bless you.